You know, I was a little concerned we wouldn't be able to be outside today. If it was easier to set up, I think I would like to do this more often than just once a year, but it is a lot of work. But I think it's really just glorious to be outside, to enjoy, you know, it's not bad weather today, but, you know, to enjoy the weather that we have, to enjoy the fresh air, you know, the clouds, the sun up there somewhere, the birds. You know, as we were setting up this morning, I could hear birds chirping and all. Matter of fact, some geese flew over and they were heading the wrong way, south. That wasn't so great, but everything else really was. And, you know, I am struck by the beauty of the world around us. Been thinking about that a lot lately, being out at night and, you know, seeing the stars. You know, we've been living over at Chuck and Marcella's house there, you know, out in the, you know, kind of in the woods, I guess it would say, and, you know, just the beauty of it. Even the beauty of skunks that are beside the road, you know, there's a certain kind of beauty there of some kind. You know, I keep thinking that this beauty just cries out about the glory of God. What a incredible, marvelous, magnificent God to create all this. You know, some people here may think I'm crazy, but I just don't see an accident in all of this. As I look at the vastness of the universe and you're looking out at those stars and realizing that, I mean, they are just an unfathomable distance away from us. You know, I just cannot put my head around how far away some of that stuff is. You know, how do you talk about light years? Okay, I mean, we use that number, but how do you picture that? And, you know, I just can't see an accident in it. I can't see an accident in the order, the precision. You know, when the kids squirted the guns and the water hit Monica, she got wet. Okay? And every time they squirt, something got wet. Now, whether it was her or the coat or the, you know, and it wasn't like the water just disappeared. And it, you know, it didn't become Kool-Aid and it didn't become diamonds. And it, you know, and as we all sit here, none of us start floating up off of our chairs. And, you know, we put the tent up and it stayed in place like we thought it would when we put it up. And it's just a lot of order. I think a lot of order that we just don't even take for granted. And I see all this, and I see a good, loving creator. You know, I recognize there is evil in the world, and we really struggle with evil. And some people point to evil and that the existence of evil proves there is no God. And I just would disagree with that. I think the very idea of evil, and the idea that we recognize anything like evil, says there is a good and loving God. The very idea of defining good and evil points to some kind of standard. I think it points to a standard outside of ourselves. If this truly were an accident, then there is no such thing as morality. There is no good and evil. It doesn't exist if everything is truly an accident. Our desire for good, I think, points to God. Our desire for the fact that things should be fair. I mean, how many of us have ever had a child complain to us it's not fair? Or a grandchild, you know, all the time, yep. Or how many of us have, at some point or other, said to somebody, it's just not fair, okay? Well, we expect fairness. We look for fairness because of God, I think. I also think that the fact that God hasn't destroyed evil points to a good and loving God. I mean, we talk about, okay, why would God let evil continue? The fact that bad things happen to good people, I think, proves that God loves us. That may seem bizarre to you, but Love, by its very definition, requires a choice. In God's love, he has allowed us to choose. He allows us to choose him or not. He allows us to make lots of choices. He's allowed us to choose to love him or not love him, follow him or not follow him. He's allowed us to choose good or evil. If that choice were removed, love would cease. There would be no love. We would be automatons. We would be slaves. We'd have the unable to choose, unable to love. God in his love allows us to keep choosing, which means he allows evil to continue. Evil's the absence of God. To be free to love means we are free not to love. We are free to turn our backs on God. So the existence of evil, I think, shows that there is a good and loving God. And I know we don't often think of it that way. But back to the world, this is an incredible, beautiful world. And there's a lot of good in it. It's been made by an incredible, beautiful, loving God. Revelation 4, 8 and 11 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." It's a beautiful world created by God. The Lord God, Yahweh is one of his names, is holy. He's magnificent. He's glorious. Revelation 5, 12 and 13 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Jesus, the Lamb who was slain because of our rebellion, is God himself, who holds all power, all wealth, all wisdom, strength, honor, and glory. He holds them in his hand. They all belong to him. You know, we can ignore God. We can turn our backs on Christ Jesus. He's given us that freedom. But our choice to ignore God has a consequence. I know we don't like consequences. We look for a world where our choices do not have consequences. Where we want to, you know, truly have our cake and eat it too. But there are consequences for every decision we make. Consequences for ourselves, consequences for others. You know, when Monica made the decision to do that sermon illustration with the kids, I did ask her to do it. But when she agreed to do it, she knew she was going to get wet. You know? If I turn my back on my family, I just don't provide for them, I walk away from them, there's consequences for that, for me and for my family. You know, if I spread hate or anger, abuse to people, you know, walking around different stores, you know, wherever I go, if I'm just acting very angry and mean, there are consequences for me, and it also affects other people. And the decision to turn our back on Christ has consequences too. Consequences for ourselves and for others. So turning our back on God, that's rebellion. And the result is evil, including spiritual death. It's our choice. Because we turn our back on God, we deserve death. I know people will say that God will never condemn someone to death. I have heard that many, many times. God would never condemn people to death. But God doesn't condemn people. People condemn themselves. It is we who say, you know, I don't want Christ. Okay? I don't want anything to do with him. And then we get what we deserve. Turning our back on God is rebellion, and the consequence of that choice is spiritual death. The choice has a consequence. But you know, there's a way out of that mess for us. Everyone has a chance for life. Life that is amazingly wonderful. Everyone has a chance out of spiritual death. This way out this amazing life is found in the love of God, who loves everyone enough to send Jesus to save us. You know, love requires the ability to choose. I already said that. Well, God in his love chose to send Jesus to save us. He lived for us and he died for us. He is the way and the truth and the life. He's the way out of spiritual death. Now, you can look for other ways. And I know people, the Bible would call them fools. So I know fools who will say there are other ways. There are plenty of ways out of the sin, out of the rebellion, plenty of ways to find God, plenty of ways out of spiritual death. But Jesus is the only way. You know, God, the creator of all, that's where I started, right? God created all this beauty. The creator of everything came to us as a man and died for us to save us and give us this way out. That's what it took to save us. That's what had to happen. And God did that. Now, see, I think if there were other ways available, if there really were other things you could do, God wouldn't have come and died. Jesus' death would have been unnecessary. But God did sacrifice himself. Jesus did die on the cross because he provided the one way. There wasn't any other. Revelation 7, 10 and 12 says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Salvation belongs to God. God has provided it and is there for all of us. I think we have to understand, and this may be one of the hardest things for us to get into our heads, we have to understand that we as humans are not in charge. We are not in charge of our own lives. We're not in charge of the world. We're not in charge. God is in charge. Our desire to find our way and our desire to be in charge is the rebellion again. It's still the path of spiritual death. The desire to find some way outside of God to find eternal life and to find this fullness of life is in itself rebellion. It is the path to spiritual death. So the antidote to the spiritual death is God. It's his love expressed through Jesus dying on the cross. Think of it like a poison. And we want all kinds of different antidotes. Well, there is one. God's love expressed in Jesus dying on the cross. We receive that antidote when we decide to follow Christ. We follow him. We claim him as Lord. We allow him to be in charge. And we're given a fresh choice not to rebel anymore. We're given a life. A full life. Just think about this. Turning our back on God is rebellion. The consequence of that choice is spiritual death. We have rebelled. The consequence that we have earned is spiritual death. We deserve it. The right thing is spiritual death. But Jesus gives us a way out. There is one get out of jail free card for every person. And that one card for each person is Jesus. Turning to him, following him. So when we follow Jesus, his death is counted as ours. We're given eternal life to the full. Jesus is great enough, he's powerful enough to save every one of us if we will follow him. Every one of us. Jude 24 and 25 says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He is able to keep us from stumbling. He is able to give us eternal life. Now, I've talked about the spiritual death, life to the full, and that can be kind of hard for us to think about. Life that is amazingly wonderful. What life that really just can't be described. So I want to illustrate the difference between the life that we're used to and the life to the full that Christ gives us. And it's not just on the other side of death. It is on the other side of death, but it's not just there. It's in this life. We have an amazing full life as we follow Christ. So, I mean, to illustrate that, I'm going to use more water. Okay, imagine that. Get the bug out of the water first. You know, think of life as being water. Okay, that's actually a pretty decent illustration out of the Bible. Jesus talks about being living water. Okay, and we're used to drinking water. Okay, and the life we have, we think is really good. So we think our water is clean, but the life that we have without Christ is actually pretty dirty. And what we're used to doing is we're used to drinking water that looks like this. And we think it's really good. Anybody want some? It's just dirt. But this is what we're used to drinking. And we think it's good. Okay? I might as well finish it. But what we don't see is all the dirt in the life that we have, all the dirt in the water that we normally have. But when we come to Christ, we get truly clean water. Life to the full is like getting really clean water now. It truly is like this instead of like this. We just think this looks like this. It really does taste better. Anyone want to try? I mean, the fact that I've already sipped out of it isn't really much worse than the dirt that's in the water. You know, if the dirt won't kill you, neither will my germs. God gives us truly good life. Just like the water that's truly clean instead of water we think is clean. I'd like us to pray together. And then we're going to have a final song. We're going to sing together. After that, we're going to celebrate life. We're going to have a great picnic. It'll take a little while. We're going to have to set up some tables, move some chairs around, and get the grill going. And Jim and Lisa are going to cook for us. And, you know, we're going to have T-bones and ribeyes as long as you brought them. I think we are having steak. They're these round steaks, kind of like tubes, and then the other ones are kind of chopped up something or other. And Nate said he has a whole bunch of sausages down there. So I believe we're having hamburgers and hot dogs. And a lot of people have brought dishes to share. And please, the greatest thing you could do, if you would do me a favor today, the greatest thing you could do would be to stay and have this picnic with us today. No matter what you did or didn't bring. And just stay and enjoy having a good time. We do have some games set up. And we just want to have fun. And I believe, knowing Jody, that all the water will be made that it looks like this. And if it isn't clear, that's because there's like lemonade in it, that we won't be using any water that looks like this. So let's pray and then we'll sing. What's that? Oh, I won't be allowed any. Well, the dirt is gone now. So, actually, this tastes pretty good. No, it's clay, actually. It is a clay that Billy Joe and I take to detox, is what it is. The last time I did this, I truly used dirt, and Billy Joe was mad at me for that. So, this is actually clay that is medicinal, okay? So it wouldn't hurt you. Let's pray. Lord God, May we see you today. I would ask you, God, that every one of us, those who have called you Lord and Master for decades, and those of us who have never called you Lord and Master, that all of us would see you today. And I would ask you, God, that all of us would leave here trusting and following you with a full life. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Call us to you. In Jesus' name, amen.